Okay, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the We're Having a Good Time podcast. I'm sorry, I'll probably be drinking a bit of water on this one. I have time to do the podcast right now, but I'll tell you what I did. I just had a sip of water. I took a slice of watermelon that I wanted to eat, and I put salt on it. I like to put salt on my watermelon. I've not always done that. I've not always been a big proponent of salt on watermelon. But the other day I did it. Well, the other day on Instagram, I read a thing, and it talked about putting salt on watermelon and how good it is for you. Not table salt, sea salt, better salts. And I've been doing it, and I felt good when I did it. But today I did it, and it's a large chunks of salt on there. And one got in my throat, and I think it burned my throat. So I'm going to have to drink some water. I made myself a tea, but I don't have enough time to let it steep. And I'll tell you, tea is going to sound worse than water when I drink it on the show. But I'm pumped to be here. I just got back from Atlanta. I went down to Atlanta and filmed an episode of the Nateland podcast. If you're a Nateland podcast listener, then you've already heard that one. It came out yesterday. But we went down and did it because Nate's filming a movie there. And I have a part in the movie. I have a speaking role. That's very exciting. It's not a big role, but I do have a role in it. And it'll be my first role in a movie. That's exciting. When that comes out in the theater next year, I'll be able to take my kids to watch this movie because it will be a family-friendly movie. So I'll be able to take my kids, and my kids will see me on TV, see me in a movie theater. They've never been. I can't guarantee that I won't take Daisy between now and then, because just talking about it yesterday made me want to take Daisy to the movie theater. I've never taken her. I took Daisy to Live Paw Patrol, but we have not been to the movie theater. And I think a big reason for that is what's appropriate. What movies are appropriate? And I don't know that there are any. And that is the plan for this Nateland movie, for it to be family friendly. And because of YouTube, because of phones, there's lots of me on our TV and on our phone screen, right? Because I upload videos of myself all the time. This video will be on YouTube. By the way, subscribe to the channel. I got a lot of stuff coming out. I got stuff, putting out stuff all the time. Subscribe, like the video, share the video with a friend, share the podcast with a friend. I've been getting lots of emails from people saying that they've been encouraged by various things that I've said. So share it with some people that, you know, may need some encouragement. Tell them, say, hey, this is the only, maybe not the only, but tell them that. Say, this is the only ad-free podcast. You can't even get ad-free at the gas station anymore. This is ad-free. So I feel like my kids are not impressed when they see me on TV because I'm always on TV to some extent. When I was growing up, somebody on TV, that was a big deal. But now it's not even that big of a deal. So, meaning that, you know, it's a big deal if you're on a TV show or something, but meaning that to a kid that age, they see me on the TV a lot. So it doesn't mean anything when I'm on an actual television program. But to go to the theater, though, and see me on the big screen may be a big deal to my kids. So that's exciting. I look forward to that. I do, my wife and kids were at a restaurant here in town, and they saw me on TV on the Cracker Barrel commercial, and I think that was a big deal to my kids. I think that was exciting to just be sitting in Cracker Barrel, and then all of a sudden I pop up on the TV. I think that was fun for them. But yeah, here we are, back again, another episode, and another rainy day. It's raining out there again. Did you know it rains every day now? I made a post about it on Twitter about how it's always cloudy. It's never sunny. And, you know, various people commented. A lot of people agreed with me. But other people, you know, they act like they were like, oh, you'll be complaining about this when, you know, in July and August when it's real hot. And, you know, I like the heat. And I don't think that the sun not being out is stopping the heat. Now, you know, it's cooler than maybe it would normally be, but I feel like I cut my grass the other day and it was so hot. It was not sunny, but it was just so hot. It feels like a thick heat. I think the plants are doing well because of whatever's happening. We're creating a dome of sorts, like a greenhouse effect, which I think they said was bad before, but I think it's good now. I don't know what I'm saying. The salt's killing my throat. But it felt like people were upset, and one person commented. They said, it's almost like the climate's changing. And then I argued with them because I felt like they were being antagonistic towards me, and then they sent a reply back saying that they weren't being that way, and then I sent them a message to their inbox apologizing to them. Because I'm like, I'm not trying to fight with people online, but I do get annoyed when it feels like people are coming at me in some kind of way. Because I don't think most people disagree with climate change. I think we disagree with a lot of aspects of it. You know, I don't think people disagree that, you know, the climate could be different from year to year. It could be different 10 years now than it was 10 years ago. But I don't think there's so much evidence that backs up claims that the climate is changing in a negative way all the time towards destruction. And I also don't think that there's so much evidence that it's man-made. That being said, I also don't think there's so much evidence to suggest that it couldn't be manipulated by, you know, powerful people. I won't say governments because I don't know that the government's doing it, but, you know, I just think about this. Let's say our meteorologist, our climate scientist, they're able to look at the weather and go, they're able to look at the climate and go, this is different and this is what's causing the change. If you know what's causing the change, could you not manipulate it, right? And that's what I think is happening. I don't think there's a switch in some scientist's office where he goes, you know what, I'd like it to rain over Tennessee today. And he flips the switch and rain comes. But I watched a video years ago before AI publicly was taking over everything. I don't know if it was privately doing it. But this guy was standing there and he said, this is a machine. So it was a big factory of sorts. And it could pump out what looked like smoke, and the smoke went into the air, and then it rained. It was basically a cloud-making machine, and it made rain. And I don't see how, you know, if we know that water evaporates out of oceans and lakes and streams and goes into the sky, and that's what the clouds are, and when there's enough moisture up there, it begins to rain. If we know that's how it works, and we have, you know, pretty significant technology, I don't know how we couldn't just manipulate that. And I think we can. And I think it could be used for good, but it also could be used for nefarious reasons. I believe there was something in Dubai. They cloud seeded, meaning they put some type of material into the clouds to make it rain because it was, you know, very dry. And then they overdid it, and it flooded. I think that's out there. Bill Gates was trying to block out the sun in a country, and they rejected it. They were like, don't block out the sun here. So I think people are doing things. Bill Gates is now telling us that it's stupid to plant trees. He says, planting trees doesn't do anything. So, and I don't believe that. I believe trees are good. I love trees. I got to be honest with you. I never thought of myself as a tree hugger, but I am into grounding now, right? I think putting your feet on the earth in the dirt is good. I couldn't tell you exactly what it does. I watched a documentary called Earthing, and I loved it. But I do think it's good. I also think that if you can't ground, say you're in a city and you can't ground feet to the dirt, I think that you can go up and touch a tree, and I think it will be the same thing. A tree connected to the ground. I think it will be the same. And I do that sometimes. I've been on long road trips, and I stopped and pulled into a rest area and just walked out and just leaned up against the tree, just touched the tree, basically hugged the tree. I wasn't so much hugging it to where people would drive by and go, wow, that guy's hugging that tree. But essentially, you know, I'm putting my hands all over the tree. One time in LA, I had a long 45-minute Uber ride or whatever, and in traffic in LA, and I felt so almost seasick from the ride, car sick, I guess is what it was, that I got out. When I got out, there was just a tree growing out of the sidewalk, and I just held on to the tree. And I feel like, now, I've had other people do this, and they tell me they can't feel it. So maybe they can't, maybe they're lying, maybe I'm lying to myself. But I feel like when I'm holding on to a tree like that, it's almost like either something is being pulled out of me or something is being put into me. But they say it's good for your cells and your body. They say your cells recognize that this grounding effect is happening and that it's good for you. I don't know if it's true, but I love trees, and I want to plant as many trees as I can. I have 40 trees that I planted in McMinnville. I have trees that I planted here at my house, and it's great. I appreciate you guys watching the land videos. Those are doing well. You know, I hope to one day they go viral and people are going, man, look at what this guy's doing. But for now, I'm very happy with what's happening. As far as a land gathering, I don't know about it. I pitched it, and then we had a lot of interest in it, and it was very exciting, but I get a little worried. We don't live there at that cabin, and we don't have any valuables out there, so I don't worry about anyone stealing anything. But I don't know. There was some concerns for me. Couple people messaged me saying they said they are lawyers. I've had people say they're policemen, various people. People are, they're landscapers, and they have all kinds of experience, and I think it would all be great. But there was some concern that, you know, people would come and we'd be having a great kumbaya time out there, and then somebody gets hurt, and then they sue me. And so I just started to get a little concerned about it, and I don't know exactly how to navigate that. I would like to just have a great kumbaya time out there. Just invite a bunch of people. We have some community. We do a little work. I also got some criticism from people because one guy said, oh, Dusty complains about helping his buddy clean his boat, and then he's asking people to come help him work on his land. And I understand why you would say that. But my buddy didn't invite me over to help wash his boat, and then we would go for a boat ride. He didn't say, hey, if you come over and help me clean my boat, I'll take you out on it. He said, do you want to go out on the boat? And I didn't really want to, but I said, yeah. And then he was like, I need you to help me clean it off and pay money for the gas. So that's why I'm like, it's not the same. I'm asking for people to come work on the land. And then in return, we will have, you know, we'll camp out and build a fire and do some stuff like that. But I don't know. And also, my time off never becomes the time off that I really want. I mean, so far, I've technically had June off, but I've had to, I've gone to Atlanta to film the Nate movie. My son's woken up. I'm going to have to deal with it. But then I've gone to Atlanta and filmed the podcast. So I've had, you know, 2 weeks off. And then I took a trip to Alabama. So I've had 2 weeks off. And then I'm, you know, traveled in those 2 weeks. So far there's been no real time off. Now begins some time off. Starting today, I hope to go to the cabin and be able to do some stuff and assess what's going on. But then, you know, I have an announcement coming later this month that based on that announcement, that's probably going to lead me to taking up a lot of my off time in July. So my off time is slipping away. That doesn't mean it still can't get done. And that doesn't mean that I can't plan something in the fall. So everybody that's reached out to me about this and showed interest, I appreciate you. And I do want to do something. I just got to figure out some legal stuff so that if something does go down, I'm covered. But I also, you know, I won't put people in harm's way. I don't want people to have chainsaws out there. I don't want that sort of stuff. But, I also don't want to get sued. I don't want anybody to get hurt. All right, I'm going to go check on my son. And I may edit this out, I may not, but I'm going to go check on him, and then I'll be right back. Okay, so I don't know where we're at with that, but I still want it to happen. I think it'd be very fun. I think it would be a good, hang, and I think people feel better. Obviously, the work will be done for me, but I think people feel better when they accomplish something. You know, when you... I know that I do. When I get out there and I build, and then I'm able to step back and look at it, and I go, "Whoa, this is super cool." That's what I want to do, and so that's the plan for that, which is no plan, but to wait and see what happens. But I just want people to know that I am still thinking about it. But I don't want, you know, I still want somebody to get out there and cut their leg off with a chainsaw or something. I'd feel terrible about it. I'm kind of afraid of chainsaws. I don't know if you're allowed to admit that, but I am kind of afraid of chainsaws. Like, I got like battery operated chainsaws that basically are a little better than pruning shears, but man, I do not want to cut my hand off. It's just like, there's some things that just don't seem worth the risk. Also, I've heard horrific stories about people chopping down trees. I see the videos sometimes, and the videos I see are not even horrific things, but trees are so unbelievably heavy that maybe I could find some videos to work into this video just so you could see. But I found videos where, like, you know, people cut down trees and then the tree falls and it picks them up and throws them. I've heard about trees smashing people. I had a buddy. His uncle was having some trees cut down at his house, and the tree fell. He came out the back door to just see what was going on outside. Tree fell, killed the guy. Speaking of that, I have a horrific story to tell. I meant to tell it last week, and then I didn't tell it. Hannah said, "I was listening to your podcast, and you almost told this story, and then you didn't tell it." And I said, "Well, I wasn't sure if I had ever told it before, and I didn't want to just tell this horrific story over and over again, but I'm going to tell it." I'm not going to get too specific who it is. I'll be vague about it. I have a relative, and his stepmom lived next to a guy who had two Cane Corso dogs. And I don't know if you've ever seen these Cane Corso dogs, but they are, you know, they look like a big pit bull. And I don't want to be controversial here because I know this is a hot topic with people, but I am not a fan of pit bulls. I'm not really that big of a fan of dogs in general. I don't hate dogs. I don't mistreat them. My dad's got a couple old country dogs out there at his house. You pull up out there, they come running up. They're nice. They're friendly. I don't mind dogs. I'm not a big fan of indoor dogs. Because I just think, some people have little bitty dogs and they don't really shed and those are cool and whatever. But I just think dogs shed a lot and then their hair is everywhere and then their hair gets all over your clothes. Everywhere you go, you got dog hair on you and then you can smell the dogs. And I think it affects my breathing. I'm not into it. I feel like that's some kind of like weird out of touch opinion to have these days. where you don't like dog. I think I feel like I've just had this conversation, but I feel like there used to be like uppity people didn't like indoor dogs and country folks had dogs. And then somehow it's flipped to where like uppity people have indoor dogs and country people are not doing it. I don't even know if that makes sense. But I just, you know, you see people, you get in their car and they got dog hair everywhere because they let their dogs in. And they're so used to it that they're just cool with it, you know? It's like the guy that drives around in a Jeep with the top off all the time and no doors on. And he's got his dog riding in the passenger seat and there's hair everywhere and beach sand. And it's cool because he's a hip guy and he throws up his little Jeep hand signal when he passes people. But that's not who's doing it now, I feel like. I don't even know what's happened to Jeeps. I am going to tell the story, but forgive me if you're a Jeep owner, but I don't know what's happened with the Jeep community. Every Jeeps used to be cool. There was this guy, I think his name was Coley, who used to live, he grew up in Opelika. I never knew Coley that well, and I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing his name right. It's been a long time since I thought about him. But he was a real fish head, and we never had any problems, but he was just older than me, and I didn't know him well. But he was always drive by my house on Lake Conde, and he always had the Jeep. He felt like he never had the top on the Jeep, and he listened to his music real loud, and he would just be jamming. And I just remember this guy, and I thought he was real cool, and I thought his Jeep was real cool. I just thought it was a cool guy. But now, the Jeep world, I don't know what's going on. The Jeeps, they have all these rubber ducks on the dash. What is that? I was at the mall, and they were selling all these ducks for Jeeps. How did that become a cool thing, to have a lot of ducks on your Jeep? I don't know. I don't want a rubber ducky anywhere around me. I don't even like my kids playing with them in the tub. They get water inside of them, then they get all moldy and mildewed. I'm not into rubber ducks. I'm not into them in the Jeep. But Jeeps used to be cool. And so my relative's stepmom had a neighbor with a couple of Cane Corso dogs. And I've heard a few different stories. Nobody seems to get the story right. I'm going to tell you the first story I heard, because it's the most horrendous of them. And then I'll tell you the other stories after. All the results are the same in the end. But this guy had two Cane Corso dogs. And my relative's stepmom went over to their house. They were friends. They were hanging out. This is graphic. And when the lady got up to leave, she gave the lady that lived in the house a hug, and those two dogs attacked the stepmom and killed her. They killed this lady. I was like, oh, gosh, what an awful story. And then I heard that she was supposed to be feeding the dogs. They were out of town, so she went out back to feed them, and somehow one of them got out of the, somehow, I don't know, I guess they both got out of the pen and attacked her and killed her. And then the dad, the stepmom's husband, shot both of the dogs and killed them. And then I heard the story. They said the owner of the dogs was on Facebook, and he was like, yeah, they were mean. I raised them to be mean. And that story was that he told the lady, never go over there when I'm not there, because those dogs will get you. And she went over there when they weren't there. I heard those three stories. But regardless, the end result was these two dogs killed this lady. That's insane. Now, I know those Cane Corsos are not pit bulls, so this is not on pit bulls. But this is why I don't like pit bulls. And this is very controversial. I know people get very upset about this subject. So I'm gonna say it in this way. And this is the way I feel, because I have friends that have pit bulls. They are very sweet dogs. I understand they are very sweet, but this is why I don't like them. They're so strong. They're incredibly strong that if they do, and I know there are a lot of other strong dogs out there, but you just hear a lot of the pit bull stories, that these dogs are so strong that if they do decide to attack you, there's like nothing you can do. You almost cannot stop these dogs. People say you can put your thumb in, you put your thumb in their butt. And I'm like, well, I don't know how that's going to work. I assume that would work, but it feels like if a pit bull was attacking someone and you go over there and you put your thumb in their butt, then they're going to start attacking you. But I've seen videos of horses kicking pit bulls and them not stopping. I've seen people trying to get away from them. And they just, these are the stories they hear the most attacks from. Now, I've heard a lot of arguments. A lot of arguments are pit bulls get blamed for attacks because dogs look like pit bulls and they're actually other dogs. But gosh, I mean, this dog stuff is wild. We had a couple of pit bulls get loose in our neighborhood and we're just running around the neighborhood. And I'm like, I don't like that. They were pretty friendly. This guy doing some work next door said, he goes, because I yelled at him. I go, you can't let your dog just run around out here like this. And he goes, that's not my dog. He goes, I'm just doing work over here. That's not my dog. So, but he goes, you don't know who owns this dog? I said, no, I don't know. He goes, well, if it's still here when I'm here this afternoon, I'm going to take it because it's real sweet. And I go, well, that's your business. You know, I don't know whose dog it is. So, and I'd like it to be gone. I don't advocate for dog theft, but I do know I don't want the dog running around here. But that's a wild story. I meant to tell that last week. What a wild story, huh? Just to know someone that knows, I don't know the lady, but to know someone that knows someone that had that happen to, it's crazy. And I got a joke where I talk about he won't bite. He might lick you to death. And that's all I'm saying. That's why I get uncomfortable around dogs. And then the dogs sense the uncomfortableness, and then there's a vibe between us. But I get uncomfortable because, especially if it's your personal dog, because I've had a couple of incidents in the neighborhood where one neighbor, they had a big German Shepherd, and Hannah and the kids were out walking, and the German Shepherd came out in the front yard and just started barking at them. And then the owners are just like standing there. And Hannah finally goes, are you going to do something about your dog? And then they get the dog and take it. There was another dog that came running at us. And I really had to step up in between the dog and the family. And then the lady gets the dog, but she looks at us like we did something wrong. And I just, that's what I don't get. I don't get this, I don't know if this is the word, lackadaisical. Is that the word? I don't get this approach to dog ownership. You know, if you own a property and you got some dogs to protect your land, you know, I'm all about it. But if a dog is bred to be, you know, protecting, then, you know, keep it out of a way to, you know, because like my I had a nephew that had a dog. He may listen to the podcast, but I'm always surprised when I find out people listen to the podcast. Somebody was saying to me the other day, they go, yeah, I was listening to your podcast the other day, and I was surprised that they were listening to it. And I thought, oh gosh, what have I said? Because I'd be talking trash out here. I feel like I talk trash, and I admit to talking trash. And I think I've offended people before because they were like, saying something about, you talk trash? And I'm like, yeah, don't we all talk trash? I think we all talk trash a little bit, right? I'm not saying it's right and that I should be doing it, but yeah, we all talk trash a little bit. I like talking trash. But anyway, my nephew, his dog bit my sister, his aunt. And she was like, said something to him about it. And he's like, yeah, it's protecting me. And she's like, protecting you from what? I'm not attacking you right now. I'm just hanging out in the house with you. And I just think, and I there was a story on TikTok. I don't know if it was real, but it showed a picture of a little girl, and the little girl had scars, and the family dog bit the little girl. And the post from the lady was like, after some careful thought, we've decided to keep the dog. And I'm like, what? And I'm not advocating for killing the dog. Just because the dog had a moment and attacked your daughter, I'm not advocating for killing the dog. I'm not saying don't do it, but I'm not advocating for killing the dog. But what I am saying is you got to get rid of that dog. That dog's got to go to another family or other owners, and those owners need to know that that happened. But, you know, if we had a dog in here and that dog attacked my daughter, that dog would not be around the house, because I got a little fear of dogs. I do have a little fear of dogs, and I can't imagine being bitten by a dog severely and then my family just keeping it going, yeah, your attacker is just going to keep living with you in the house here. So wild. People have sent me emails, and I get lots of emails, and, you know, one email was about, I feel good, by the way. I don't know why I'm talking about all these horrific and sad things. Today, I feel good. I feel better in a lot of ways than I've felt in a long time. I'm going to tell another story in a bit, but if you listen to the Nate Land podcast and you've already heard it, and I hate to just tell it about myself, but if you don't listen, then it'll be a fresh one for you. And I do hate to just tell it about myself, but it's a good story, so I'm going to tell it. But the somebody had sent me an email about, you know, growing up with an abusive stepdad. And that kind of stuff makes me so sad, because I grew up with divorced parents, and divorced parents can be hard enough. But I never had a stepdad or a live-in boyfriend. My mom never did that to me. My mom, you know, she dated men, she had boyfriends. A lot of those men were alcoholics, but they were, at least from my perspective, were fun alcoholics. You know what I mean? They weren't abusive to me. And as far as I knew, they weren't abusive to my mom. Now, you know, who knows, you know, how relationships go. Maybe they could have been emotionally or verbally abusive, but I never saw it. And so I never experienced that. I did have a stepmom growing up who I did not like, but I didn't have to live with her. It was my dad's wife, and I went there every other weekend. So I didn't have to live with her. Now I have my current stepmom, my dad's current wife. They didn't get married until I was 15 or 16, and she's great. Had I grown up with her, my perspective would be totally different, I'm sure. She's great. But I didn't like my stepmom. Now, she was not physically abusive. She spanked me a time or two. And I don't think she was verbally abusive either. But I do think that there was a fair amount of emotional abuse. And I don't even know if abuse is the right word. But growing up, you know, that kind of stuff where it was like, I don't know, I just didn't like living with her. And I think a stepdad can be so much worse, especially physically abusive, which is what this emailer had. And I just can't imagine. It doesn't even have to be a stepparent. It can be a real parent. But I just can't imagine growing up that kind of way where it makes me so sad to think, because I have two kids. And my life's goal is to make sure that my kids feel safe and comfortable at all times at home around me. I saw some Jordan Peterson quote. I forget. I don't want to misquote him, but he was like, your kids should not have it any easier than home than it is out in the world, because you're not, you know, because the world is hard and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, what? I was like, I couldn't disagree with this more. It's like, to me, the house and your relationship with your kids, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, maybe I don't know anything about parenting, but I just think it should be the most comfortable place for your kids. I think your kids should just be able to just know that they can always talk to you and know that their home is always a place of comfort and safety. That's just my opinion. And so it just breaks my heart to think about people living in abuse. And I'm not saying, you know, my house will always be perfect or everything will always be perfect, but perfection is what I'm striving for. And, you know, if I fall short, that is what it is. But I think about, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Sling Blade. There's so many funny quotes that come from Sling Blade, and it's fun to make jokes about the movie Sling Blade, but it's a very dark movie. You know, the main character, Carl, in the movie grew up with abuse. And then the boy that he befriends is also living in an abusive household. And by Dwight Yoakam, by the way, who does a brilliant job in that movie. But it's, you know, those sorts of things are just so sad. I don't know why I even bring that up, but I just do because, you know, I always like to talk religion and the Bible on the podcast. And that's what I think. I think sometimes, you know, you can have these abusive relatives or family members or even just someone from the church community that's mean. And, you know, these abusive relatives claim to be religious. And so you grow up with that and it turns you off from the religion when, you know, Jesus is nothing but love. And so, you know, I just want people to know that, you know, just because someone says they're a Christian, it doesn't mean that they are. And you know, and so you and also maybe they are, and they're dealing with their own demons, and you know, and they're trying, but they, you know, it's like I've talked about this before, but I have family members that, because my life, you know, I made that comment about emotional abuse, but as far as it goes, I mean, a trailer park kid growing up with divorced parents, my life was pretty easy. I'm not saying it was easy, but what I'm saying is the contrast based on the way I grew up, based on stories that I know about friends of mine that grew up similar economic levels to me, had much worse lives. And for that matter, people with better economic lives than me had worse lives. So I feel very blessed to have the life that I had, but you know, I just want people to know that, you know, that you know, that Jesus is, this is what I was going to say, that, you know, I have relatives, I have people that I know where their parent was abusive to them in some form or fashion. And then their grandparent was abusive to their parent more so. And then in some cases, even know about it going further, that their great-grandfather was more abusive to their grandfather than their grandfather was to their father, and that their father was to them. So while there's still abuse going on in these relationships to some degree, it gets better with every generation. Now, does that make it good? Does that make it okay? Of course not. But it is getting better, and sometimes, you know, it's like they're bad. They may be bad with Jesus, but how bad would they be without him? You know, and I know that that's not an excuse for their behavior, but I just am saying that. But you know, it's not a reflection of Jesus in those people to have that abuse. Is my point? I don't know. I'm trying to make sense of stuff, but I don't know. It was just on my mind, and it's very sad. All right, here's another switch of subjects. I put out a video about watching movies about Las Vegas, and I did a top five movies about Las Vegas, and I thought that was fun, and a lot of people commented, and then I said there were movies that I had not seen, and so I've ordered them, and I plan to watch them. Two of them I plan to watch. I'm not looking forward to watching, but I am going to do it. One of them is Indecent Proposal. I just think it's going to be a very sexual movie, and I don't really want to put that stuff in my mind. And I don't know why I've tasked myself with watching them. But I do want to watch them because I want to do the full scope of all the Las Vegas movies. And because I am going there July 25th, I believe. It's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I just want to watch them. Another one that I want to watch is Honeymoon in Vegas. And then Leaving Las Vegas is the other one that I hear is really good, but I'm not looking forward to watching because they said it's a very dark movie. So the movie that I watched just recently, which is branded as a Las Vegas movie, is 3,000 Miles to Graceland. I really enjoyed the movie. I just watched, it's a 2-hour movie. I had an hour flight to Atlanta and then an hour home from Atlanta. So I watched it there and back. I bought the DVD. I ripped the DVD onto my computer and then I airdropped it onto my phone. It's an amazing way to watch movies. Now I'm not controlled by the airline. I used to like it when the airline would have the TV on the seat in front of me. But then every time they wanted to make an announcement, the TV paused. And then I was started watching the in-flight entertainment on my phone through the app on the airplane. And then sometimes when the flight's over, the in-flight entertainment just cuts off. So I'll be watching a movie and I'm like, I'm almost to the end. I'm almost to the end. And then boom, cuts it off. And so then there's like, you know, 5 or 10 minutes left on of a mediocre movie that I would have never watched if I wasn't just passing time on a plane. Now I'll never know how it ends because I'll never go and finish it. So this way is so much better. Now you also can just download off the apps. You can download off Hulu or Netflix and stuff like that. But I own the movie. I want to own the movie. I like owning things. I don't want, Hulu to, I'm not trashing Netflix because I have a special on Netflix, but I don't want Hulu to decide, well, I don't like this part of this movie, so we're going to take it off, we're going to edit it and put it back on. So I want to own the movie. Anyway, 3,000 Miles to Graceland, very good, very violent in the beginning, very violent in the end, and pretty dark all the way through. But I really liked it. But I will say this. There's practically nothing to do with Las Vegas. In the beginning of the movie, they all dress like Elvis and they rob a casino in Las Vegas. And then that's it. It's a 2-hour movie and there's about 10 minutes about Las Vegas. But it ends up being, you know, a good story of, Kurt Russell, Kevin Costner, and Courtney Cox. People always, they used to really make fun of Kevin Costner about not being a good actor. But I'm like, what do you want from a guy? Kevin Costner is so good. He's in so many movies. I love him as an actor. I don't know who these theater majors are that are critiquing people on their acting skills all the time, but I love Kevin Costner movies. I think he's really great. He does 3 great baseball movies. He's Robin Hood. He's, Waterworld even wasn't a bad movie. I understand the critique is that at the time it was the biggest budgeted movie at the time and it was a bit of a flop in the theaters, but it's a good movie. It's stupid that he's starting to develop gills behind his ears and webbed feet due to climate change. Probably bombed because it's propaganda. Because the evolution, I saw a video the other day, unbelievably ridiculous. It was showing the evolution of an elephant, I think, and it was going through all these different phases, and it's just asinine. It's just unbelievable, fictional, Marvel can't create better characters than they were creating in this video. It's just so stupid. And people, I don't even know if people are buying it. But I think people are, not all of them, but I think there are people that are buying it. It's just unbelievable. I can't believe it. I'm not saying there's not, I don't know the difference. There's macro and there's micro. I believe in one of them. I believe there can be small changes over time due to, if like 2 redheaded people met, let's say 10 redheaded people met and moved to an island and they only had babies in between them. Over time, all the people would be redheaded. I believe that, okay? But I don't believe that over time, those redheaded people would become squirrels and flying squirrels and fly off the island. I don't believe that. Even if it were billions of years. So that was a dumb movie. But Kevin Costner makes great movies. It was not a dumb movie, but a dumb part of the movie. But Kevin Costner's great. Last of the Mohicans? No, what is it? That's a good one, though. But you know what it is, where he goes and dances with wolves. Great movie. Kevin Costner crushes it out here. And people were, like, making fun of him about being a bad actor. Kurt Russell. Kurt Russell is one of my favorites of all time, and he stays relevant. He was in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 as Ego. So great. I love Kurt Russell. He's in it. Courtney Cox, watching this movie made me think that the TV show Friends ruined. Now, I know she made millions. She's forever enshrined to people as this great character on Friends, and people loved her. But I think that TV show ruined a really good movie career for Courtney Cox. Because she was in Ace Ventura. I really liked her in that. She was in Masters of the Universe. I think that was her first movie role. And then she's really good in this movie. And I just think it's a real shame. Because we could have gotten more movies out of her had she not been in that TV show. And I think it's too bad. I hate it. But the movie was really good. I enjoyed it a lot. It was, I don't think it was a 90s movie. I think it was a mid-2000s movie. But it felt like a 90s action movie. And I like that about it. It was, a lot of chaos, a lot of murder, a lot of shooting, a little bit of sex, but no nudity, a little bit of sex, and with a happy ending, though, which you gotta love that. I do not like a movie that doesn't end happy. You know, I had a hard time with the movie No Country for Old Men, even though I really liked the movie. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen this movie, but you're following this main character. You think you're following the main character for a long time, and then he dies in the movie, and it's almost like he dies in passing. You know, there's not even really a lot of focus on his death, and I had a hard time with it. And then the bad guy gets away at the end, and my friend pointed out to me that the movie is not about the bad guy or who you thought the main character was. The movie is about Tommy Lee Jones. It's about a thing that he witnessed one time. It's about this crazy thing that happened in the town he lives in one time. And it's so good. It's a good movie. And so I'm going to keep watching these Vegas movies, and I'm going to keep trying to break them down. All right, I got a couple more things, but I'm going to tell you first my story about what happened to me in the Atlanta airport. It's better when me and Brian Bates tell it together because we were traveling together. But I'm just going to have to tell it myself, and it will sound, I don't know how it's going to sound me telling it. But I will tell you, I was having a bit of a bad day. I was feeling a bit down. I was feeling a bit stressed. I didn't want to go to Atlanta and film the Nate Land podcast, mainly because this is my time off from traveling. And, I drive 15 minutes to Zany's to film the podcast. And now I'm flying an hour to go film it. And I was unhappy about it. I wanted to do it because I like, participating. I like being a part of this podcast. And I'm thankful that I was a part of the movie and this was a big deal. So I agreed to do it, but I wasn't happy about it. And I'm complaining to Brian Bates. I'm just complaining to him all day. And we land at the Atlanta airport and we're walking along. and I see this actor. And I go, I'm pretty sure that's a famous guy. And but I was like, I don't know, who is it? I'm not good at recognizing people, but I was like, I'm pretty sure that's a famous guy. And then it hit me. I go, that's Christian Bale right there. And I said to Brian, I go, and he's right in front of me, and he's with what appears to be his wife and his two kids. And I go, I'm pretty sure that's Christian Bale right there. And I said to Brian, I go, that's Christian Bale. And Brian's like, what? And he goes, I don't think so. And I go, yeah, that's him. So Brian, like, I go, speed up, see if he can see. And Brian speeds up and gets around him and looks, and he goes, yeah, that is Christian Bale. And I was like, man, that's so cool. And I wanted to get a picture with Christian Bale, but he was with his family, and I was like, I don't want to harass the guy. Because I have been a Christian Bale fan for a long time. I mean, we all love Batman. I think to a lot of people, he's the best Batman. Now, we have this nostalgia of Michael Keaton. Listen, we all love Michael Keaton. I love Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton is one of my favorites. And I will often say Michael Keaton was the best Batman. But I think overall, the Christian Bale, Christopher Nolan Batman series is the best. Some people say that Christopher Nolan had a whole plan for the Bane, for the third one, The Dark Knight Rises, that involved the Joker. That when Bane opened the prison, Joker was going to be in prison and he was going to get out. And that was going to be a big deal for the movie. But then Heath Ledger died, and we thought we could never replace the Joker with Heath Ledger, with anybody else. I think Joaquin Phoenix did a great job, and I think it closed our mind, or it reopened our mind to the idea that we can allow another Joker. But Heath Ledger was incredible, and so when he died, they had to rewrite that movie, which is why the third installment of that series was not as good, because they had to do a bunch of rewrites because the Joker was gone. So I think, we lost Heath Ledger, great actor, you know, someone's son, probably someone's boyfriend, and it's all sad, but it's sad that we lost that movie. But I think as a series, the Christopher Nolan, Christian Bale Batman series was the best. You can fight me if you want to. I liked the two first Michael Keaton ones, and then Val Kilmer one was good. George Clooney was a terrible Batman. I think, what's his name? I don't know why I can't think of his name, but Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck was a very good Batman. I liked it. I even liked the other Batman, the guy that was in Twilight. I never can remember his name. Maybe never will be able to remember his name. I liked his Batman, but I think the Christian Bale one was the best. And so you have that. And then those movies sent me down a real rabbit hole of Christian Bale movies. The Machinist, one of my favorite movies by him. It's too dark to want to watch over and over again, but I love that movie. I love it. I love Christian Bale in American Hustle. I loved him in a movie called Out of the Furnace. I loved him in The Fighter. He's just incredible. And I was just so stoked. And I was like, man, I'd love to get a picture with him. And so Brian Bates can attest to this. This is probably going to be the clip that we share from the Nate Land podcast. So you'll see it on my Instagram feed soon enough. But we're walking along, and we basically were like, well, that was really cool that we saw him, but that's going to be about it. It's going to be a story of we saw Christian Bale at the airport. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's Christian Bale right in front of me. His hand is extended. He shakes my hand and he says, I just want you to know that I'm a big fan. I like your comedy, and I've watched your videos. And I was like, whoa. And it blew me away. It gave me chills. I was so like out of my mind. I didn't know what to do. And I said, wow, this is incredible. I'm a big fan of yours. And then Brian Bates, thankfully, I'll now be referring to Brian Bates as my best friend because of this. But he said to me, he goes, what about a quick picture? And Christian Bale goes, yeah, if you don't mind. And I go, yeah, that'd be great. And Brian Bates took a picture of me and Christian Bale. And it was an incredible thing. It changed my whole mood. Really, what it did for me, it changed my mood in the sense that I just felt a scene in a way. I think that, you know, I have so much. I've been given so much. God has given me so much. I have such a great management team, great agents, people that I work with. I have great platforms, and people listen to my podcast, and people send me emails and tell me incredible things. Tell me how me sharing about Jesus has impacted them in a way. And all of these things, they mean so much, but sometimes still complaints can slip into your life. Doubts can slip into your life where you feel like sometimes that the things that you're doing are not reaching enough people. You have enough shows where the ticket sales were not what you wanted them to be, were not what you expected them to be, till you get to a point to where you go, am I doing the right things? Are people seeing my comedy? Is my comedy having the impact that I'm hoping it has? And just having a person that's famous, but famous in a way that I also am a fan of their work, tell me that really impacted me, gave me a pep in my step, and I felt good. It changed my day, and I felt really good. And so I just wanted to share that. And I have pictures on my wall of in this room here of comics that I've worked with over the years, country singers that I've worked with over the years. And I will be printing the picture of me and Christian Bale and adding it to the wall. I'll tell you that. It's very exciting. Okay. A couple of more things. I watched a movie called Cedar Rapids. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, a comedy. And I started watching it on an airplane years ago. I watched about half of it, and then I think the flight ended, and then they cut my Wi-Fi off, and then I didn't get to finish it. And I just never really thought about it again. And then the other day, I saw it, and I go, oh, I'm going to finish this. And somehow, even years later, the American Airlines app had it where I finished watching it before. So I just got to go in and finish the last half of it. It's great. What a great fun movie. It gets dirty, gets wild, but man, I was just watching it and I was like, as dirty as it was, it had a bit of a wholesome ending to it, and it felt good. Because what I felt like they were doing was, I think it's Ed Helms is the main character, and when the movie starts, he's a good, wholesome character. And as it starts to unfold, all these things start to happen to him where he becomes less wholesome. And it's like, it's almost like they're trying to say that he's coming alive because he's losing his wholesomeness. And I feel like it left me with that kind of taste in my mouth to where I was like, I don't like this. I don't like that they're taking the wholesomeness from him and that's giving him life. That somehow he was unhappy when he was wholesome, but now that he's ventured out, he's found something new about himself. And I didn't like that. But I feel like they did a good job of bringing it around at the end to where he did find something. He did find something about himself, but deep down, he is still a wholesome guy, and he's found his happiness in that. And that felt good. I like that. I like seeing that. I don't like, you know, the movie 40-Year-Old Virgin was like that to me. When I was watching that, it's like Steve Carell's character felt wholesome in a way. And it felt like they were all just so obsessed with him getting laid that, I don't know, it felt like he was going to accomplish something by getting laid. And then I really liked how it concluded with him. He did get laid, but I don't know if he married the woman first or he at least was in a relationship with the lady. And it just felt like that when he finally got laid, he got laid by someone he was in love with. And I liked that. And I felt like that was a good ending. Also, all right, I want to finish by talking about my comments about church. I got a couple of comments from people about me saying that you don't need to go to a church. I just want to address them. Because I think that I have a fair amount of Christian listeners, and I know that I do, that sometimes, you know, when I talk about not going to a church, it offends people because they're like, we go to a church, and I had someone email me, and she emailed me with a bunch of Bible verses to back up her claims that Jesus and everybody and a lot of people in the Bible, are saying that we should go to church, that it's not a suggestion, maybe not a commandment, but it's not a suggestion, and that if we want to reach our fullest potential, we should be a part of a community of believers. And I do agree with that. I think it is, we should surround ourselves with believers that believe like we do, so iron sharpens iron, so we can have these sort of discussions. And I do think that's important. And you know what? I do have that sort of community. I don't belong to a church, but I do have that sort of community. People that email me that listen to this podcast are that community for me. My sister and brother-in-law that I talk to about these things are that community for me. I have other, you know, comics and, you know, people that I interact with in my daily life are that community for me. Could I get more of it if I went to a church? Yes, potentially. But I think my message was to people that are not believers or people that have experienced something bad with a church, something that left them with a bad taste in their mouth. I was just trying to say to them that you don't need that to have a relationship with God. You don't need that to have a relationship with Jesus. And that is my point. I think a lot of Christians forget that there are people out there that are not Christians. They forget that there are people out there who have been hurt or scorned. I don't know if scorned's the word, by the church community. And they're closed off to it now. They're like, I don't want that. And if I have to have that to have a relationship with Jesus, then they say, I don't want it. And so that's all I'm trying to say, is that you can still have that relationship without the community. And that's all I'm trying to say. And I'm trying to say to them that they're not alone, that, you know, you know, there have been many times in my life where I felt alone and sad. I was not married at the time. And there are many times in my life where I felt like I didn't have a lot of friends. Even if I did, I felt like I didn't have a lot of friends and I felt alone. A lot of times when I was drinking, I'd be hungover and I'd be sad and I felt alone. You know, I always had the relationship with Jesus. I've talked to Jesus many times, wasted. I've been drunk, I've been on drugs, and I've talked to Jesus. And I don't mean that in a light way. I don't mean that to be like, he don't care if you're doing those things. He did care that I was doing them. But I still felt like he was there for me to talk to. And that's all I'm trying to say. Just trying to say, hey, you come where you're at. No matter where you're at, you come. And then once you get there, then you stop eating pork. That's all I'm saying. I love to talk about not eating pork. You know that if you listen to this podcast, but stop doing it. You know what I mean? It's bad for you. And pigs are filters for the earth. I heard one time India was letting pigs eat the trash out of their landfills. And I don't know if they're still doing it or not, but I think that's the way to go. Let's let the pigs eat the trash, guys. Let the pigs eat the trash. Okay, anyway, well, I appreciate you guys. This has been fun. I've had a lot of fun today. I am very excited to be doing the podcast again. I think this is so much fun. Every episode I end and I go, I hope this was fun for people. I don't know. But I am just trying to provide an hour of ad-free time of just a guy talking. I was trying to fall asleep last night in my hotel, and I put on a video. And I have YouTube Premium, so I don't get ads. And then I was listening to the video and I was enjoying it. And then the guy I was watching went into his own ad read. And I was like, I don't want to listen to this. And I closed the computer and I went to sleep like a grown man. Oh, also, now I'll have to make it till tomorrow because last week I was filming the podcast on a Wednesday and then released it on a Thursday. But as of today, this is a Tuesday, no cigars. No cigars, guys. No cigars. Actually, no weed either for a week. So it's been 6 days. I will say this. Last night, if I had had access to a cigar, I would have had one. So I don't want you to think I'm just full of just amazing willpower. If I had one last night, I would have smoked it. But I didn't, and so I didn't. But the other 5 days, I had total access. And the reason I didn't have access to one last night is because I didn't bring them, which I normally would bring. I would normally just have my own. So I'm not trying to get pats on the back, but I just saying I said I was going to take a break, and I did. So I've taken a break. And now I think I'm going to try to work on coffee next. I'm not saying I'm quitting those things, but I am taking a break. And it feels good. So, okay. Thank you very much. We're having a good time. Thank you.